Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We have another wonderful show in store for you, and I'm really looking forward to bringing on my guest who is here with us, not like my guest last week who messed up. So let's get started. Of course, we start off first with our blog post from a couple of years ago, just kind of taking these in order. And today's blog post is entitled, "Taking Time for Ourselves is the Most Important Thing We Can Do." It can be hard to take time for ourselves. We all have so many demands on our time, so many things we want to do. People all around us are asking for our attention. Sometimes all we want to do is close the door and just be by ourselves. Yet it seems harder and harder to just do that. Having space in our lives for ourselves is essential for our well-being, though it tends to be the last thing we actually make a priority. Maybe we have aging parents to take care of, or children that desire our constant attention. Even our dog wants to play with her all the time. So where is the time for ourselves? Life can become too full for us, full of commitments to family, jobs, or businesses. So we forget about the most important commitment of all, the commitment to ourselves, to honor our own needs and fill up our own cup. We easily forget that when we don't take care of our own needs, we make it harder to handle our commitments to others. With so many people relying on us for one thing or another, we don't want to let any of them down. So we let ourselves down instead. This is exactly what gets us in trouble. For when we deny and neglect our own needs, we are bound to not be able to live up to all our other commitments. Giving ourselves space and time to just breathe can be huge for us, especially when we have so much going on in our lives. We need time to process, to feel, and to reflect. And when we do, we just might find that we don't really want to do all the things we are doing. The space we give ourselves might just be what we need to see everything more clearly, to see exactly what we are doing and what we no longer wish to do. Without taking time to sit back and take a moment, we cannot gain a new perspective. Taking time to just be with ourselves is the most productive thing we can do, as it gives us a chance to feel what we are really feeling, instead of numbly going from one task to another. Is that not a better way to live? Can you give yourself a chance to just sit and breathe and be with yourself? I wonder if you do, what new perspectives can you cultivate? So I wrote this blog post a couple of years ago, I believe after taking some time off. You know, at the station here, we typically close down for the last 2 weeks of the year. So Christmas week, New Year's week, there are no new live shows. There's nothing going on. Take a break from business. My wife takes a break from her therapy practice. Sometimes we go away and take a trip. Sometimes we stay and do a staycation. I think last year we went down to Barbados, which was really nice. And it just reminded me how much I personally don't take enough time for myself. How much I am going from one thing to another, whether it's networking with people, talking to new potential clients for the radio station, talking to potential healing clients, working with my coaching clients, doing something. I'm putting out a lot. And as my human design, I'm a manifesting generator. I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to use up my energy every day. And yet still, I need to take a break sometimes to just be able to step back. And I think this is true for everyone. That when we're so much on the go, 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 I got to get this done, this done, this done, that done. And we're always moving forward and we don't give it time for ourselves to just be, to just breathe, to just sit and be still. When we don't allow ourselves that luxury, which is not really a luxury at all, it's really a need. That then when we go from one thing to another, we're just wearing ourselves down, wearing ourselves down, wearing ourselves down until the point that we crash. And that crash never looks good. And so rather than just, oh, constantly pushing, 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 I got to get this done, got to get that done. If we can just take little tiny breaks in this moment, I can just take a moment. Before I go into this next meeting, I can take 2 minutes and breathe, stare out the window, close my eyes. Before I go and have to deal with family and friends and clients, whatever. Everyone's life is a little different, but I think we're all feeling how life is so much more chaotic and hectic and busy than it used to be. So in this time when things are accelerated, it's even more important to sit back and just take a breath. And the thing that's amazing, when we haven't been doing it, and then suddenly we do, how much we can see that we hadn't been seeing. How much space opens up inside of us to maybe handle the next thing and deal with the next challenge and deal with the next thing that's coming through our phone or on computer. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that there are not situations that can be extremely challenging to take time for ourselves, especially when we're caring for others. Whether you have a special needs child, an aging parent or grandparent, or just anyone who relies on you as a caretaker, I get it. It's hard. But if we're going to show up and be our best for the people that we take care of, we have to take care of ourselves first. It just doesn't work any other way. It doesn't. Yet if we take care of ourselves, then when we show up for others, we really show up for them. We show up as our best selves. So I guess my invitation, especially for this holiday season with Thanksgiving coming up next week and the Christmas, New Year's, and Hanukkah next month. Take some time for yourself. Take some time to just sit and be without doing anything. And just notice. Just notice how it feels. Do you find there's a lot more anxiety there than you thought there was? Do you find that it helps you to find your center and be more peaceful? Do feelings start to come up that you've been ignoring and not dealing with? All of that is an indication, and it's information for what to do next. So that's my blog post for this week. The title again is Taking Time for Ourselves is the Most Important Thing We Can Do. And of course, you can always find my blog on my personal website, theconsciousconsultant.com, and on the radio station's website at talkradio.nyc/blog. And of course, if you like my blog posts, you can get more of my writings on my book, Everyday Awakening, which is available at all major booksellers. And now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show Will Burkhart, a Naval Academy graduate, former Marine Corps intelligence officer, explorer, and founder of Badass Consulting and Badass Adventures. From combat zones in the Middle East and Africa to wilderness expeditions and psychedelic ceremonies, Will has devoted his life to exploring the edges of human potential. Now, as a co-active certified professional coach, he helps others access their own inner power, courage, and freedom through adventure, awareness, and expanded consciousness. Will discusses in his work the difference between expanded consciousness and altered consciousness and what it means to live a psychedelic catalyzed life, one in which awe, presence, and curiosity are part of everyday existence. Through his retreats and coaching, Will invites people to move beyond peak experiences into an ongoing state of flow, creativity, and connection. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Will.
Thanks, Sam. It's great to connect with you today.
Yeah, it's
appreciate
great.
Appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you taking the time to come on. So, Naval Academy graduate, former Marine Corps intelligence, you really kind of started off life in a strong way, I guess.
Yeah, if you'd asked me, you know, as a young 20-something-year-old that I would be sitting here doing what I'm doing, talking with you about what we're talking about, I would have figured, oh, you know, you've taken too many drugs. There's just no way, you know, no way to know back then that I would be doing what I'm doing now. So it's been quite an adventure.
Yeah. But it sounds like it really informed how you approach life and sort of gave you a certain foundation, which then when you went beyond that, it sounds like it probably served you in some way.
It did. That my time in the military definitely was, you know, it was foundational. Definitely, you know, had me be in an environment where I was very much in a box, in a system, you know, in an institution, and be able to see just how that works and doesn't work. And, you know, the pros and the cons of that. And then, you know, be so firmly entrenched in that and then be able to step out of it and contrast, you know, not being in that type of an institutional environment. It's given me, you know, the contrast of that perspective has served me well.
Cool. Well, I would love to talk about sort of what precipitated that contrast, but we're going to take a quick break first. Because I'd love to know, like, what turns a Marine Corps intelligence officer into a badass coaching expert and somebody who is really working on consciousness and opening people's minds. You know, that sounds like a really big change. So I'd be curious about what kind of made you flip that switch, okay?
Sounds great. Yeah.
Awesome. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, except holidays, from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc. And we'll be right back with our guest, Will Burkhart, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Will Burkhart. So Will, tell me, how does one go from like serving the military in combat zones around the globe into a badass coach?
Well, it wasn't just a switch, Sam. It wasn't like a switch just went off. It was definitely a lifelong process. And, you know, for me, that exploring the human potential and being at the edge of, okay, what are we capable of? That's been the driver in my story in hindsight. Yeah, and there were a few key, you know, things that I did along the way, that I realize now were building blocks. I was involved with the sport of adventure racing for a number of years, where it's co-ed teams of athletes going for 7 to 14 days through the wilderness, hiking, mountain biking, whitewater rafting, canoeing, rappelling, riding horses and camels in Morocco, just craziness. Really, you know, pushing the limits of our physical endurance. And from there, I softened into just more of the, you know, other alternative ways of, you know, expanding consciousness in some ways, you know, through a lot of Asian practices, Tai Chi and energetic work. You know, I was introduced to human design back in 2004 and the Gene Keys. So along the way, you know, as a manifesting generator, following my gut.
manifesting generator. Cool.
Right. Yeah. You know, I just seized on opportunities that at the time necessarily it wasn't linear. Yeah. And but I was moved to follow and pursue a number of different things. And then, you know, opening my own adventure guiding company and putting trips together around the Southwest and Nepal and Africa, South America, opening that to guests, you know, to clients. But it was really about a decade ago that the psychedelic piece dropped into my field of consciousness. I grew up in the, 70s and 80s where the conversation around, psychedelics was a lot different. It was a genie that escaped the bottle, so to speak. And we probably as a society, at least here in the United States, we weren't quite ready for that genie to come out. So the government, probably rightfully so, tried to stuff it back in the bottle. And now it it's obviously come back out. About a decade ago I was introduced to the psychedelic world and, really went deeply down that, have gone deeply down that rabbit hole. And it was interesting because one of the big influences that had me explore psychedelics was, TED talk that a guy by the name of Graham Hancock did back, almost 15 years ago. And, Graham Hancock's a prolific author, and his whole, the premise of that TED talk was that we are in a battle for our consciousness. And he really dives into, from his perspective, the consciousness expansion ability of psychedelics and how, the government and the institutions are basically battling us for our consciousness. And, so that was, that was the entry point there. And since then it's been, the journey has accelerated in a lot of ways. But it's also slowed down in some ways. I loved your blog post that you were talking about, this morning, taking time for ourselves and, and it takes, as you're well aware, it takes intentionality, especially in today's world, to take time for ourselves. And that is one thing, one insight that I've gotten, as I've explored psychedelics is the importance of that, the importance of stillness and the importance of intentionally dropping into our subconscious and those realms and being able to really explore, who we are and what is driving us in this life and realizing that it's an ongoing journey and one that can be pretty badass if we step up with our highest self and engage it in it.
So I'm curious, you've been through many parts of the globe, various cultures I'm sure you were exposed to when you were doing a lot of the adventure tours and stuff. Was there any one place or couple of places where you felt like there was something otherworldly going on in that part of the world, something beyond the mundane?
I'm glad you asked that question, Sam, because I just recently, like a couple of weeks ago, returned from leading an Everest base camp pilgrimage through the Himalaya in Nepal. And that part of the world it holds a special place in my heart. And it hits that, that point that you just made. One of the things I love about that trip is we're hiking up the Khumbu Valley and you're going through towns, little villages along the way. And the quote trail that we're on is not really a trail. It's the main thoroughfare through that part of the world that these folks live in. And, there's yaks and donkeys and commerce and people moving gear and you're walking through these villages. And you see the folks that live there and you interact with them and you realize just what a different world they are in. And, you see the kids outside staring at the foreigners with wide eyes, wondering, who are these people? And we look at them and we're like, wow, in the lottery of life, you dropped onto this planet in this place. And it's a magical place. You know, the scale of the Himalayan mountains is just so beyond our, you know, the ability to even imagine, you know, hiking through a valley that's 12, 13, 14, 15,000 feet, looking up at mountains that are 20, 25,000 plus feet high. You realize, okay, we're pretty small. We're pretty insignificant. And you know, that landscape and that setting it's boss. It is the boss. And it, on the one hand, it is a very humbling experience. And you realize, yeah, just how, you know, powerless we are. And then on the other hand, you realize, you know, you're empowered by the magnificence of it. You know, it just feeds you, and you know, the energy is it fills you with something that is indescribable. But you meet with that with, you know, you're wise to meet with that with a great deal of humility. Because when Mother Nature decides a cyclone's going to roll through and dump several feet of snow and multiple inches of rain over a 5-day period, that you're not in control here. Yeah. And, you know, that one of the other things that's fascinating is, you know, we look at the folks who live in these villages and the simplicity with which they live their lives, the lack of distractions.
Yeah.
And they're happy. They're healthy. Yes. There's no mental illness. There's no obesity. There's no, you know, their level of stress is just so much less than ours in some ways. And in other ways, it's probably higher than ours. But the simplicity of their lives and just the close connection they have with their natural environment, it is inspiring. And you know, I'm left to ask, you know, who has this life right, so to speak? We have it with all of our technology and all of our extravagances, or do they have it with their simplicity? And you know, it's a fun thing to consider.
Yeah, I've never made it to the Himalayas, so I haven't seen the 25,000 feet. But when I went to Ecuador and this 15,000 foot volcano, and to the Sacred Valley in Peru, seeing the mountains and feeling the energy of the land. It really does when you, and then even just earlier this year, went to the Grand Canyon for the first time. And even though that's only 5,000 feet deep or so, but still when you expose yourself to these massive formations of nature, and you can feel it's palpable, the energy of the place, of the location. It is a consciousness shifting experience, I would say. That gives us a different feeling for life and our place and our perspective in life, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And that's why I love to be able to take people to those places and, you know, give them, you know, that experience, or, you know, in a good way. And, it's a wonderful thing to be able to share.
Yeah. So we've mentioned, and you've mentioned about sort of the psychedelic experience, and I'd love to get into, like, what was your first experience? How did you come to it, especially with your background? You know, it might've been a little unnerving or whatever, but I'd like to get into sort of a bit of that after we take this next break. Is that okay?
Sounds great, Sam.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Will Burkhart, founder of Badass Coaching and Badass Adventures, and we'll be right back for a badass story.
Misalignment within your sales team or with the client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever wondered what truly lies beneath the calm? I'm Jacinta Yang. Join me every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Talk Radio NYC as we explore healing, self-discovery, and a space where science meets spirits to help you find peace in a busy world. Take a deep breath and tune in to Beneath the Calm, where every conversation guides you back to the calm within.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Will, you mentioned how your experience with psychedelics has sort of shifted things for you, opened you up to a different way of looking at things. How did you first come to the world of psychedelics from your Marine Corps intelligence officer background?
Yeah, so is pretty common. It was a friend of mine who was telling me about his ayahuasca experience, you know, down in South America, and from that kind of seed being planted, it took a couple of years, and then ironically, he met a facilitator here in the Phoenix area who was able to facilitate a one-on-one ayahuasca experience for me in his house, of all places. And, so that was, sitting with ayahuasca was my first experience in
jumping into the deep end of the pool, eh?
Jumping into the deep end. Yeah, absolutely. And, so that was the first psychedelic I worked with. And, you know, those initial experiences for me, you know, I went into it thinking, oh, I just want to see more of, you know, I want to expand my consciousness. I want to, you know, I know there's more available. What is there? You know, what is underneath that I'm not seeing, that I'm not experiencing? Mm-hmm. And those early experiences were very somatic, very dark. And it was kind of ironic because I sat, you know, in the one-on-one ceremony, and then about 2 months later, I was scheduled to sit in a small group ceremony. And, you know, as you well know, you know, when you commit to sitting with psychedelics, usually life will give you something to sit with.
prep you for that, give you something to have an intention around, right?
Exactly. Prep you. And, so a week before that second group sit, the same facilitator invited me to the Southwest School of Naturopathic Medicine to view a film called From Shock to Awe. And it tells the story of veterans who were using psychedelics to work with PTSD. And it was a unique experience because not only were they screening the film, but they had a panel of doctors and medical professionals, as well as some of the veterans who were in the film there at a panel to discuss, you know, for a question and answer after it. And, you know, I sat through, watched the film, listened to the panel, and was very obviously taken with all of it. And it resonated deeply given my military background. And I left, I got in my car, and this was a week before I was supposed to sit. And I realized, you know, something had shifted in me, and I just got really jittery and really like on the edge of a panic attack, on and off over the course of that week. And I was just like, you know, what the hell is this?
So there wasn't something in the movie that triggered it specifically?
It was the movie, and it was listening to their accounts that basically triggered latent PTSD in me that I had not even considered that I had.
Ah, okay.
And so I went into that ayahuasca sit with the specific intention of dealing with PTSD that I didn't even know I had.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, it was probably one of the most beautiful experiences and most impactful experiences I've had. The healing aspect of it was, just profound. Mm-hmm. And one of the specific aspects of that was especially impactful was, I rarely watch war movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is war movies can give you the sounds and the visuals, but they can't give you the smell of the battlefield. They can't give you the smell of burning flesh, of exploding ordnance. And one of the things in that psychedelic sit that it reconnected me with was my sense of smell. Mm-hmm. It's like I had literally been holding my breath and not being able to fully take in the aroma of life because, I had smelled the horror of the battlefield.
Mm.
And, smell is a very, very deep seated,
Yeah. Very primal sense.
Very primal sense. And, without smell, we sniff out, we smell our way. You can smell danger, that's, it's a very key, survival instinct, and that was just one of the aspects of my, healing my PTSD. It's like, hey, you have permission to breathe. You have permission to smell this world. There's nothing to fear here. I say nothing to fear, It's okay to smell fear. It's okay to, to use that intuitive sense and allow it to guide you. So that was, my initial foray into the psychedelic world. And, from there, mushrooms were a very valuable teacher for me.
I'm curious, that was such an intense experience. What kinds of practices did you do, if any, to help to integrate that afterwards?
So I, my primary integration methods are being outdoors, connecting with nature, yoga and Tai Chi, those types of movement, mindful movement practices, a fair amount of journaling and just really, sitting with it. And then using, one of the things that was missing back then is there wasn't a huge, network of, the coaching aspect and the therapeutic aspect outside of it was not as present. Although I did, go to therapy and, my therapist was fascinated with my psychedelic experiences. I used those types of things to, for my integration. And then realized, hey, it would be really great to have coaching around these experiences. So that got me into the coaching world and guided me to, start to not only facilitate experiences for people, but to actually put the coaching around it, for integration work.
I mentioned in your intro, like you like to talk about the difference between expanded consciousness and altered consciousness.
Yeah, it's we like to think that we are in like the normal state of consciousness right now. Mm-hmm. So this is this is what we consider baseline normal,
mm-hmm.
and even in this space, as you're well aware, some people are more tapped into what they're conscious of than others.
Right.
So to me, it's, it's a spectrum. Consciousness is a spectrum. And
right.
We aren't, when we take these compounds, we're not altering our consciousness. We're just expanding that spectrum, and we're able to see more of what is, you know, what we call consciousness. And it feels different from obviously how we feel now.
Right.
But, you know, is it really altered? Yeah, it could be semantics, but I like to look at it. No, we're expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ultimately how, you know, what tools can we use, what support can to basically maintain as expanded a consciousness as we can have access to.
Right.
And such that, you know, it becomes a, you know, not altered, but it just becomes the consciousness that we experience.
If
that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. The way I like to think of it, it's when we're on the substances, things are expanded, like you're stretching a rubber band.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, when you sort of come back, that rubber band comes back a little bit, but it never quite comes back as far as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Before the experience.
Yeah.
So each time you're stretching a little bit more, coming back, stretching a little bit more, coming back, stretching a little bit more, coming back.
That's a great analogy. Yeah.
But as you're well aware, it's not a linear thing. There's lots of ups and downs and real life in between. In what ways would you say have those experiences altered your coaching practice and altered the way you work with people? Because you were already working with people before that, right?
Yeah, I was. And, you know, I call it, you know, psychedelic catalyzed coaching and psychedelic catalyzed living. So for me, you know, there's the straight up traditional coaching. And then, you know, it's like for clients who are open to it and they want to catalyze that coaching process, accelerate it oftentimes, you know, let's figure out what psychedelics they're comfortable with at what doses they're comfortable. Take, you know, some of these issues that we're coaching around and bring those as intentions into that psychedelic setting. And, you know, I've found that the psychedelics can catalyze and really speed the coaching process up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah. So, the two pair well together. And, you know, for that, you know, I'm using lower dose psychedelics. You know, we're not talking necessarily unless people are looking for a real deep dive. You know, we're looking to find the sweet spot in our dosing to where they're able to stay connected with the intentions that they bring,
mm-hmm.
and navigate that psychedelic experience such that the insights are flowing and they're able to make sense of it even in the experience, right?
Right.
And then they come out and it's like, okay, they've got a different perspective. They've got an expanded, you know, view of it. Mm. They realize maybe their relationship with it has shifted or can shift.
Mm.
And then it just, you know, they're off and running at that point. Mm. So that's how I have integrated the two into my, you know, with my coaching practice.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Just one more question before we go to our last break. Have you found that there's been any resistance to sort of adding that into the coaching practice, or do you find that people, because of the conversation and the general consciousness, that people are a little more open to it than they were necessarily in the past?
People are definitely open to it.
Hmm.
I don't sell it. Right. Mm-hmm. Psychedelics aren't for everyone.
Right.
And, you know, so for me, you know, it's like people are open, and as long as they're open, then the psychedelics will be, you know, in my experience, will have a positive impact on the coaching process and on their, you know, the work that they're doing. So yeah, that openness, which is, I found to be quite present, is the key component. The willingness to step into that type of an experience.
Yeah, because really, like, if somebody is anxious or nervous about it or resistant to it, it can be a very challenging experience. Mm-hmm. But if they're properly prepared, if they're educated, mm-hmm. if they're coming with intention and awareness and mindfulness, that then they can have a very different experience, right?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. We're going to take our last break. When we come back, let's just talk about sort of the different ways in which you work with people and like what's appropriate for what kind of a client or somebody coming with a certain challenge, like how you would guide them around this. Okay.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we'll be right back with our guest, Will Burkhart, founder of Badass Coaching, in just a moment.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Larice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Will, somebody's coming to you for coaching. Maybe they have dealing with deep relationship issues. Maybe they're dealing with past trauma, childhood trauma. What kinds of things kind of give you the indication of what sort of direction to lead the person?
So,
when it comes to a psychedelic experience.
Yeah. So it's really, me attuning to what, what they're bringing and the level of healing that needs to occur or the level of transformation that needs to occur. And then, and their willingness to be like, okay, psychedelics are a tool that we want to bring into this, into the process. And I work with a number of psychedelics. So I have a kind of a menu that I can present to them and giving them, kind of an idea of how each psychedelic works and just what is potentially available in those experiences. And I'll usually have an intuitive hit of where to start with them in that. Mm-hmm. But I try to reserve that and draw it out of their intuition. Mm-hmm. It's like, I say, what psychedelic and what setting calls to you. It's very much a back and forth conversation. And what I'm looking for is their level of comfort and their level of willingness to step into the experience. And as long as that comfort level and willingness is high, then I'm confident that through my coaching and the knowledge that I have that I can, A, they can feel like they're going to be in a safe environment, and B, the safer the environment I can create for them, the deeper they'll be able to get into whatever the underlying issues are.
I'm curious, are there any red flags that when you learn about are like a definite hard no for you?
Yeah, you know, mental stability is pretty critical. You know, that's probably the number one critical element is, if they have a deep psychological issue that is beyond my, you know, scope of practice, and they are, you know, they don't have that stable, mm-hmm. then I will refer them to, you know, the proper professionals. I work with a lot of psychiatrists and therapists who will refer me clients, and we all know that the clients that they're referring me are stable. You know, there's a level of stability there that it will not destabilize them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the number one things that I'm looking at, and from a red flag standpoint. And then the other standpoint is really, it's like, are they doing this because their partner thinks they should do it, or they think it's going to be a silver bullet and it's going to solve all their problems. You know, so there's an educational piece and just a piece of like, okay, yeah, like you really, this is something that you want to do. Mm. This is something that you feel will benefit you in learning more about yourself and becoming a better version of yourself.
What do you think is probably the most common misunderstanding people have that come to you for psychedelics?
There's the silver bullet syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, they'll sit once and they'll be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably the number one thing. The other thing is that they're dangerous. You know, there's, you know, we grew up at a time where, you know, acid would put holes in your brain and all the danger things. So there's that piece that I have to address a lot. Those are some of the things that re-education and just shifting their perspective on what these compounds can do. You know, what is available when we sit with them.
Mm.
The other thing is, you know, most people, you know, they think they're going to take a psychedelic and there's going to be a lot of visuals and they're going to enter another world. And, you know, I have to explain to them that could happen,
mm-hmm.
and it could be a very somatic experience. It mm-hmm. can be a very emotional experience. It can be a very spiritual experience,
mm-hmm.
As well as a cerebral experience in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yeah, so there's a lot of misperceptions to work through. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, I found over the course of my experience that more is not always better.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm a less is more, you know, a less is more guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, by and large, and, you know, for those clients who do, you know, after they have experienced less is more, if they are like, okay, I want to go deeper, then you provide that for them.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, in that vein of less is more, as far as dosing goes, you know, you do, if you do approach it from that aspect, what you can do is you don't have to just sit with psychedelics maybe once or twice or three times a year. You can sit with them more consistently, and create what I call a psychedelic catalyzed life, where they become a piece of how you navigate this experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's once a month, once every other week, once every other month, you know, you're not blowing their brains out and just having them go off the deep end. You're going in very specifically, whether it's through a framework of human design or the gene keys or whatever, you know, there's those frameworks we can enter the experience with, or just ongoing work on whatever issues they have.
Hmm.
And much easier to integrate, much easier to become a part of, hey, just like going to the doctor or you know, the dentist or whoever, and, you know, something that's a part of your life that you do when it's necessary. You know,
it's kind of like, instead of going to the doctor for a checkup, you come to a ceremony to have an energetic checkup, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, so many people come to psychedelics for the healing aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, what lies beyond the healing? What's like the next level once you've, you know, I mean, healing is a lifelong work, but once you've gone through the foundational pieces, what's beyond the healing?
You know, I think what's beyond the healing is your ability to truly know yourself.
Hmm.
And from that deep sense of knowing your, you know, it's capital S self, what is our highest creative expression?
Hmm.
You know, you were here, you know, you were put on this earth with great creative potential. I was here put on this earth with great creative potential. You know, tapping into that creative potential that is authentic to our true self, I think that is what is available. You know, you get through the healing, you clear the baggage, and suddenly it's like, oh, you know, I this is the purpose that I was put on this planet for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you can imagine a world where people are creating from that place, then it's, you know, to me, that sounds like a whole heck of a lot better world to live in.
Yeah.
Because we're, you know, that raises that energetic vibration. And suddenly, you know, we're collaborating from that place of I see you, you know, that, you know, you're showing me you, I'm showing me, and wow, what can we create together? What kind of magic can we create? So.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I could talk to you about this stuff all day long. Unfortunately, we only have an hour. Thank you so much. If people want to learn more about your coaching services and learn more about what you're offering, where can they go? Where can they find you?
Yeah, my website is badass-coaching.net.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll take folks to there. I've got badass-adventures.com where my adventure piece lives. And I love it when those two intersect and we can combine the adventure and the coaching and the experience in those places in the world that you've talked about where it's like, you know, the energy is just next level.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, and you're out in Phoenix, you said?
I'm in Phoenix. Yeah.
Okay. So people know if they want an in-person experience where they need to go to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking time for coming on the show today. I wish you much luck in what you're doing, because I do know there's tremendous need out there and there are more people who need this work than there are people offering this work. So I can wish you continued success.
Thank you, Sam. I really appreciate being on your show and everything that you do. So bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. So please don't keep us a secret. Spread the word. If you like today's interview, share it with your friends, your colleagues, your family. And of course, if you missed any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc or on your favorite social media channel, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Twitch. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will not talk to you next week because next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you the week after next week. Take care. We'll see you then.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Misalignment within your sales team or with the client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.